Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popioff?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Here.
Dr. Rubin?
Present.
We have quorum.
All right, so it's 2:38, we're back in general session. And then our next case.
Well, that did a lot of good. Waste of my time.
Goodbye. Next case is 22-221, Dr. Garrett Smith. Is Dr. Smith on the line?
I am here, yes.
Okay. And Ms. Hannig, can you give us an overview?
Yes. Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a complaint from patient BD, who alleges respondent published via an online patient forum a series promoting drinking MMS. After expressing concerns, BD was removed from the platform.
Is the complainant on the phone? Okay. Dr. Smith, can you give us a rundown, please?
Yes, I had been personally experimenting with a compound known as sodium chloride, and I had been having quite good results in myself, and I had done quite a bit of research on it, and I presented it as something that the forum that I'm in is not a patient forum. It's kind of a private network, so there's like 1,200 people in there. They are not all my clients, as I mentioned in the, I don't know if you want to call it a deposition. I don't call the people I work with clients anymore because I'm working with people all around the world. I've had clients in 27 countries. So I tend to keep it on the client level because I never see them in person, and I don't prescribe, you know, anything other than mostly minerals to them. So anyway, I presented this information as something that people could take it or leave it inside this private network. And this gentleman did not approve of even the idea of exploring an idea like this. And so he made it well known that he was actually going to try to retaliate against me on the internet. Because if I did not take all of this information down, he was going to retaliate against me on the internet and try to damage me financially. So I removed him from my network, and then he complained to you. So that's the basics of it.
Okay. I have a couple quick questions, and we'll turn it over to the board members. You're currently practicing in Tucson, correct?
I'm in Tucson, yes. My practice is entirely virtual.
Okay. So my question is, if you run the laboratory serologies and do your other testing, ancillary testing with that, do you then, if you find issues, let's say the patient is severely hyperglycemic, hyperlipidemic, possibly has H. pylori, all the other things that we look at when we do tests, what do you do with them? Do you have a referral basis that you send them to? Do you make a soap note? How do you work this?
I'm tending to be, my clientele is, I'd say 95 to 99% of them coming to me because of their frustrations with all the other practitioners they've seen. I tend to get people who are at the end of their rope in terms of what they're trying. So they always know that I don't have a lot of referrals because I'm dealing with people on a virtual basis. I mean, I could tell them to go see other people, and I would when they want a referral, or if they have, you know, some need that is beyond what I'm doing, which I'm doing, you know, basic diet and supplementation. My labs are completely nutritional in nature. I mean, the blood work I run, the basic blood work is vitamin A, serum copper, plasma zinc, and ferritin. So I am working on a completely nutrition basis. That is what people are coming to me for. So in terms of if they wanted or needed a referral, I would give it to them, but that's not what they're coming to me for. And I'm not looking, they know that I am strictly nutritional work. And if they want other stuff, then that's not what I do.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Are you functioning more? No. Are you saying that you're functioning more as a health coach rather than a doctor?
If we wanted to say that, if that was more accurate, I mean, I guess you could say I'm a health coach who has the ability to order blood labs. Yeah. I don't advertise as, you know, I don't tell, I mean, people know what labs they're getting when they get in to work with me. I mean, it's actually on what they would purchase on my web store, the list of labs that I do. And that's, yeah.
At what point do you step in as a clinician, as a doctor? I know you're doing the diagnosis on A and, composition. At what point would you step in as a clinician?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
So if you
in terms
see,
of stepping in as a clinician. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. If you see something that is totally off the chart in terms of a laboratory serology that you did, when would you say, you know, you need to see, for example, endocrinology, you need to see gastroenterology? When would you discern to make that judgment?
My clients have the opportunity. I actually do something different, very different from other practitioners, which is I'm trying to make it on time to one of these meetings today I have with my client. I offer them two sessions, 2 hours a week of, they know that this is not private and that there is a small group Zoom meeting where people can come and they can talk about minerals and stuff like that. We're talking about basic stuff because I have so many clients that they're agreeing. They know that they can schedule a private consultation if they want with me. They also know that this is a small group session, and that it's not private. So they come to that, and if I was to see something, so basically I go by symptomology, I go by the lab, and I go by if people are not improving or if they were worsening with what they had come to me to address, then I would say that this is not working and you should go see somebody else. However, if they are generally making progress with me, I mean, you know, the labs that I'm seeing, I mean, I'm doing mainly nutritional based labs. So if their ferritin is high, I mean, I work on that all the time and I get it down. I don't, you know, they can do therapeutic phlebotomies if they are able to. If they can go do blood donations, they can do that. Otherwise, nutrition stuff works to get it down, and then we just go from there. But yeah, I've never hesitated for anybody who was under my care, and if they were not getting better, or God forbid they were getting worse, I would absolutely refer them out.
Okay. Let me ask my board members to help us out here. Dr. Popio.
Dr. Smith, I think what Dr. Stadelick is getting at is kind of this gray zone that you're functioning in, is you're licensed in the state of Arizona, which allows you the ability to do lab work. You are making treatment recommendations, which requires a certificate to dispense. People are purchasing products from you. So you're functioning, you're doing things that your physician's license allows you, but saying you're not treating patients, right? So if you really wanted to function as you're saying, then there's no reason that you're licensed by the Naturopathic Medical Board if you're not functioning in that role and wanting to be able to order labs and wanting to be able to make supplement recommendations, correct? Is that the question? Do you understand?
No, I'm still here.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying. I'm not doing the, you know, everything that one might expect, you know, a full naturopathic physician to do, but that's all. I'm utilizing the blood labs to do nutritional blood labs. So that's kind of just the area that I've decided to go into, and due to my, you know, kind of virtual basis, I'm trying to, I guess you could say, I'm trying to minimize my exposure in terms of problems by keeping it nutritional and not going deeper, if you will. So
I understand what you're saying. You know, we license naturopathic doctors. It's kind of like you're in or you're out. You know, like when you are licensed as a naturopathic doctor by the state of Arizona board, there are certain requirements and expectations for levels of function in practice. And I understand that you're trying to function solely within a nutritional realm, but there are things that you're doing, particularly the ability to order labs. And I know there are some places, you know, you could just counsel people, go, you know, get your own labs done here or there. But if you're the ordering physician on labs, then, you know, you're using your physician's license and subject to all of the legalities, if you will, that all of us need to follow. And if you're doing a nutritional consultation, going over blood work, making a supplement recommendation, that, in my opinion, functioning as a physician, which requires chart notes and follow-up. And so I understand your perspective. I think it's a gray zone, you know, so obviously we're kind of getting different than what the complaint was, but it opened up the way you're practicing to questions as to whether or not you're following all the steps that need to be followed for a licensed naturopathic doctor in Arizona.
I understand.
I don't have any other questions right now, Dr. Sadlick.
Thank you. Dr. Rubin?
Yes, Dr. Rubin, hey. Hi, Doctor.
Hello.
I don't think there's a gray zone at all. This is, you're either, like Dr. Appeal said, you're either a doctor or you're not. And if you don't want to function as a doctor, then retire your license and don't call yourself a doctor and act as a nutritionist and a health coach like many people do and sell supplements. And people can go get their own lab tests. Yeah, they can still order them because nowadays you can do that. But if you're going to enjoy licensure by this board, you need to, and you will have your doctor hat on. You don't get to choose when you take it off. That's part of being a doctor and licensure. And so you want, to me, you're diagnosing and treating. There's no other reason to order lab tests as a doctor if you're not going to diagnose and then you're treating. So regardless of what you tell them as a licensed physician, you're treating as a physician. You can't not. So that is one thing to consider. Maybe you do want to retire your license and then you won't be, you know, we won't be licensing you and you won't have any, we won't have to talk about this. There's something to think about. You can't operate in between. So, Where is the chart note for this patient? We have one
very
line
good.
Where.
Yep, that's how I work things.
Okay.
I get their main concerns and I cover the things that we're going to be talking about that are the most important for them to address, and I understand.
Yeah, well, not anymore. So this has your license. This has Dr. Garrett Smith. It says naturopathic medicine. And you have, it's a note with 1, 2, 3, 4 things on it. We assume that this is a list of issues. I don't know if this is the chief complaint. I don't know if this is for the patient. I don't know if these are just things they're taking notes on. And so
those are their main complaints.
Yeah, and so then it doesn't show that you did anything about this. You didn't give a diagnosis, you didn't give a treatment, and then you made some treatment plan. But it's insufficient, doctor. And so if you want to act as a, you got to act as a doctor. So we'll deal with that in a little bit. But is MMS, legal in the United States? I was reading in the complaint, I think they said that it was like outlawed in the U.S. I don't know.
There are multiple patents that have been granted for adding what people refer to as MMS, which is chlorine dioxide, to multiple products, hygienic products, toiletry type products. It is sold as a water purifier to be used. It is used as a water purifier. It is sold as a water purifier for members. It is not banned by any stretch of the imagination.
Is it recognized for internal use? You just talked about commercial applications or external.
Well, it's used in industrial water purification, and it's sold to campers as a water purifier.
Okay, drops of it. But I don't think you're talking about drops in large gallon tanks. So you said you did lots of research. What research? Like medical research?
One of the studies that the gentleman who filed the complaint didn't like was a study from 1982 in humans over, I believe it was 12 weeks, showing that when they supplemented this, there was no problems whatsoever. There was no changes in their blood work. And I can get you that paper.
Okay.
And there's been lots of studies in animals. And
okay. But it's not banned.
No.
What's the reaction in the body?
Well, what I am talking about using is sodium chloride by itself. It is taken in water and it is in the stomach. It reacts with the hydrochloric acid in your stomach and it forms chlorine dioxide, which is a weak oxidizing agent, and it helps break down the theory on it is it kills pathogens and it breaks down toxins because it's an oxidator, and that is the way our liver breaks down toxins is through oxidative processes like ADH and ALDH.
What's the half-life of chlorine dioxide?
It's very short. If you were to leave chlorine dioxide out on a counter, in room temperature, you could tell by the color of it. It would probably go from yellow to clear within 10 minutes. It is either used up as an oxidizer or it reacts with the air and it goes into the air. So it's very quick. I don't know the exact half-life, but it's very quick. I've had my son soak his finger, an ingrown nail into it, and it was clear within 10 minutes. So it doesn't take long.
Okay. Rest of the board, I think there's issues with the licensure, this charting, treating, not acting, sort of leaving operating in a gray zone. I don't have much to say about this MMS. I mean, look on the FDA. They basically say the same thing. It doesn't seem to be banned.
I was not prescribing it. I was simply discussing it, and people, I often throw these things out there that if people want to try this on their own, they can.
Yeah, but that's not acting as a physician. You don't understand is that you're a trusted source. You took an oath to get your degree to protect the public. And as a physician, it's different if just some run-of-the-mill person says, oh, I took MMS on Instagram. But as a physician, as Dr. Barrett Smith, they're looking at you. You know, that's where you have to be careful. It's not a gray zone. You're a physician, and therefore what you're saying people are going to do, and therefore you may not be protecting the public. this is part of the issues with social media and posting things, is that you need to make sure it's black and white and not gray, in my opinion. And so somebody could say Dr. Smith was saying, hey, if you want to try this, go ahead. I know people can make decisions on their own, and they have to. The board deals with this all the time. But you may find yourself back here for something similar, saying, well, he's the one that suggested I try it, and he's a doctor. What happens at the board? I don't know. I'm just saying that could be slippery. I'm okay with the MMS. I don't have really much else to say. I would like to discuss the charting, you know, Dr. Sadalek. I'm of the mind that we would need to have some charts come back and see us here properly filled out, SOAP notes, subjective, objective assessment plan, ICD-10 diagnoses, what a physician would do, whether it's e-charting or whatever. But if he's acting as a licensed physician and diagnosing and treating patients and ordering labs, we got to see him. It's a lot of work for Ms. Anthony, and it's a lot of work for us to do this, but it's the only way we're going to see if we're watching over our licensees and protecting the public. That's where I sit with things.
Okay. Other board, I hear what you're saying, Dr. Rubin. That's why at the very beginning of this, I was trying to figure out exactly what he's doing. And I guess we're all trying to figure that out. Other board members, opinions, ideas, suggestions? Dr. Spath?
I don't have anything to add. I think Dr. Coffey and you and also Dr. Rubin have stated everything that needed already. Thank you.
Dr. Campbell?
Well, I mean, regarding this MMS stuff, I think it was like in 2008, the Food Standards Agency in the UK had issued some type of a statement after Health Canada and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration issued a warning about MMS. The 28% sodium chloride solution, which is the equivalent to industrial strength bleach, and that it can cause all these various issues, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, et cetera, potentially leading to dehydration, reduced blood pressure, et cetera. And so again, when you have somebody that's a doctor that's saying, well, you can try this if you want, kind of concerning, if we have multiple issues here with respect to, I mean, the moment that we order, that labs are ordered on somebody, they essentially, you're practicing as a physician, they become a patient. And so as opposed to if this, you know, person that did the complaint filed a lawsuit for malpractice, you know, they, you know, what then? You know, immediately these people become your patient when you start ordering labs and giving them any advice, you know, other than the restroom is located down the hall and to the left. Anything beyond that, you're practicing medicine. And so just by the fact that you're a licensed physician when you're talking about people's health. And so, you know, we have some issues to obviously deal with here. So whether it be going to formal interview or not, you know, we definitely have some issues that we need to understand and figure out here.
Okay. Dr. Rubin or Dr. Opio or Dr. Beck, does anyone want to make a motion how to continue with this? Letter of concern with follow-up. Unfortunately, with letter of concern, it's difficult to back up with them. So we'll need to discern which way we'd like to go with this.
Can I ask a couple questions?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I just had a couple questions. So if he were not to be ordering labs, and he was just giving general coaching and prescribing supplements. Can he do that, or because of the very nature, I mean, because of the fact that he has his license, he is acting as a doctor in all those circumstances, whether he's ordering labs or not ordering labs? Is that correct? It's just the mere fact that he's interfacing with people and giving recommendations, he is working within his licensure and as such needs to be following charting and the coding and all of that. That was kind of a convoluted question. Let me rephrase that. Is there any instance where he can give general advice without having a chart? I guess it's to boil it down to a question.
No, it's Dr. Rubin. I don't see any.
Okay.
Sorry, Dr. Sadalek, I jumped in. Go ahead.
Okay, that was my question. So unless he wants to be opening up a chart, keeping charts on people, coding, doing all of those requirements, he would have to relinquish his license to continue to operate as he's operating now.
And I think not hold himself out of position, even.
Right.
Potentially.
Okay.
Like scrubbing the doctor and naturopathic.
Okay. Are there cases where doctors are, let's just say, and maybe this is irrelevant, they're just lecturing and giving advice in like a classroom setting or seminars that are held? What kind of standards are held to, let's say, naturopathic doctor chose to do that? What would be required of them to maintain their license?
Don't give advice to somebody who's not your patient on their health care.
Okay. Okay, so no specific advice. Okay.
So I'll give you a quick example. Just before this, I did an hour and a half live national webinar for a group called Go Integrative, and it was stated by the host and then by me very specifically that I will not answer any questions on what are your top five supplements for breast cancer. Why won't I answer that? Because that isn't protecting the public. And I said, if I say that and I'm a doctor and I'm your guest and I'm trusted, patients may go out and take them, and it could be entirely wrong. Plus, it's an unanswerable question. Anyhow, if somebody says, hey, you know, I just finished a course of this chemotherapy, and they want me on rituximab maintenance therapy, what's your opinion on that? I'm not going to opine. I don't know that patient's case. How am I a responsible physician by answering a generic question outside of a patient case without any of the background information? A responsible physician takes everything into account. That's what licensure is. That's how you keep the public safe, and that's what we do is seasoned physicians. And so I don't see any way that you can give specific advice to an individual. I mean, maybe casually over the dinner table with your family, but you're still taking, you know, even if you're talking to your friend, you're still taking responsibility. You are a physician and you are giving advice to your trainer. That's the only reason they're asking you. So either you are or you aren't. And that's the way I see it. Maybe Mr. Larson says there's something different, but I don't see any difference. And that's, I take that very close to my heart. So should all physicians.
I appreciate that, Dr. Rubin. Thank you for clarifying that. That's super helpful.
Welcome. I mean, it's not, you're not going to like jump over to the surgeon and say, hey, could you just kind of whack that lipoma off real quick for me? I mean, it's, you know, may seem ridiculous, but they can. It's probably, you know, you ask a brain surgeon to whack a lipoma. It's pretty simple. It's still a surgical procedure. They're licensed to do it, et cetera, et cetera. You're welcome. Sorry, Dr. Sadler, but I was kind of hyper.
No, I think your point is well taken. So we, as physicians, we can see that there is, you know, potential violation. How would we like to resolve it? I understand what you're saying, Dr. Rubin, in terms of having him starting to do charting, et cetera. Would you like a letter of concern and have him go through a charting course, et cetera, and make it IECME based letter of concern?
This is Dr. Rubin. Yeah, yes to all of the above, about submitting, you know, deciding on a period of time, issuing a letter of concern, and within a given period of time, having to submit to the board some number of charts so we can check his charting, and going through CME in terms of charting in case he doesn't remember how to chart. And then, but sort of harking back to what we had talked about earlier on the call, I'm thinking about some description of the procedures, because this may end up being, you know, a gargantuan task for him, given the way things are set up, even though, you know, I don't know what Dr. Smith would do if we agree on this, but I'm kind of curious, as since we can't check all the charts, and we can only maybe check 5 or 3 or whatever we decide we want to do, might be a good idea also for a little narrative on what changes he's made in his practice and how he approaches things, which would give us somewhat of an overview of what we could expect should we audit his entire caseload for a month. Does that sound reasonable?
This is Justin. A couple things. So, some of the things that were mentioned there are like, you know, sort of make me, it seems like the board might want to, you know, do additional investigation in this case, you know, like reviewing chart notes. But then, you know, I also heard someone mention like a letter of concern or something, which would sort of resolve the case, right? So I it's kind of either or. I mean, you can't like, you know, issue a letter of concern and then, you know, continue investigating the case, because that, you know, that would be kind of incongruent. Like a letter of concern would essentially, you know, end the case. So what I'm hearing is that the board might want to review additional information before it resolves the case. Is that correct, or?
That is correct.
Okay, so perhaps what, you know, what we could do is request that, you know, request from him that he submit to Gail, you know, additional chart notes or something along those lines, and then the board could revisit at a later meeting. Or I'm just kind of throwing things out, but I don't want to, but I, you know, I just want to try to, you know, bring everything together here, because these are kind of different avenues.
And Dr. Salek, members of the, I'm sorry. I just want to point something out too. If the board wants to review additional chart notes, I suggest you give the physician, 3 months, whatever, so they understand they need to chart correctly and then review. Because if you review what he's done to this point, you're going to find the same thing that we're finding.
Yeah, totally understand that. And I think I misspoke when I said letter of concern. I agree. What I would like to see done, and then we can move on this perhaps, is I would like to see a little narrative of how things are going to change in the practice so we understand the changes. Or he could come and he could just tell us that. He doesn't have to write it. And I would like to see within, I think, the next 3 months, very reasonable, 5 chart notes in proper charting format so we can look at the changes and make sure that everything is in line with the standards of naturopathic medicine in the state as we license. And then if so, we can decide what we want to do after that.
So we should bring him back in like 90 days, and during the 90-day period, he's putting all that into action and probably needs to, on his own, consult one of the many different attorneys that deal with doctors and make sure that he gets everything on his end that he needs to understand and know in order, and then come back and report to us what he's doing and how he sees the future, you know, and how he's dealing with patients and his procedures, and essentially that he's set up the practice as it's supposed to be. And ahead of time, when he comes back in 90 days, he would have already submitted, you know, 5 cases that Gail would review and we'll have that. But when he comes back in 90 days and he can verbally, talk about everything that he's done, and then we make a decision then.
Yeah.
Gail, if I was to make that an official motion, is that sufficient, or do we need to reword it?
Just so I understand, so I think what you're sort of getting at is perhaps a motion directing Gail to request from Dr. to send a request to Dr. Smith that he provide, you know, a plan of action, you know, consistent with the recommendations the board's made today, and you know, within 90 days to submit, you know, submit that to the board within 90 days, and also you know, additional chart notes for the board to review. Is that how I'm understanding it?
Correct. Maybe at least 5 different chart notes that would, you know, take place after he's established those procedures and then comes back to us in 90 days after he's submitted those to Gail, and we can schedule him in, you know, had a review, chance to review the chart notes. He can come and talk, answer our questions about what he's put into action and what decisions he's made, and then move forward from there.
Okay, and if you want to just make that into is your intent to just make that into an official motion?
Yes, sir. I'd like to make that motion.
And does that all make sense, Gail?
Yes. Yeah, so what's the status of the case? Is it on?
So I guess the investigation would just be continued okay. For that period of time.
Okay. That was Dr. Campbell's motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Can I do roll call, please? Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, let's move on to number 6, review consideration possible action regarding applications for medical license to dedicate to dispense. And that would be Linda LeBlanc. Gail, can you give us an overview?
Yes. This is an applicant for a medical license by endorsement with limited scope. She's not passed acupuncture. She holds licensure in New Hampshire, which was initially issued in 2018. Applicant graduated from National University, passed NCLEX Part 1, Part 2, and minor surgery. Applicant marked an affirmative answer on one of the background questions, and she supplied the written supplement indicating she was found guilty of a DUI in 2008. Source documents do not reflect the incident.
Is Verinda on the line?
Yes, I am.
Any questions that you have for the board?
I don't have any questions for the board. I'm happy to answer any questions that the board may have for myself.
Board members, any questions? Does anyone want to make a motion?
This is Dr. Rubin. Hey, Dr. Rubin, I move that we accept the application for licensure for Dr. LeBlanc.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. And roll call, please. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen? Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
The motion carries.
All right, number 7, review consideration possible action regarding applications for renewal of certificate to dispense. And we're probably going to have some recusal on some of these. So, Dr. Rubin, I'll have you, we'll have to go through these individually. We'll start with 7A, and Dr. Rubin, you'll be excused from 7A, which is Deborah Bolinski. And I'll make the motion for renewal of certificate to dispense.
Is Dr. Popiola second that?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Dr. Rubin, stay recused, please. 7B, Dr. Dan Rubin, renewal for certificate to dispense. I'll make the motion to approve.
Is Dr. Popiola second that motion?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Next is, I think this does, Melissa Coates work with you, Dr. Rubin?
Yes.
Okay, so you're recused again. 7C, Melissa Coates, I'll make the motion. We accept her certificate to dispense.
Is Dr. Popiola second that motion?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
7C is in dog. Dr. Popio, and he'll stay recused. I'll make a motion that we accept his certificate to dispense.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
And Dr. Spatt on 7E, please recuse. Dr. Sam Spatt, I'll make a motion for certificate to dispense.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Item 7.
Motion carries.
And then,
item 7F, Dr. Bruce Sadlick, I make a motion to approve his certificate to dispense.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
And eight, due consideration of possible action regarding application for renewal of medical insurance for Dr. Rubin, so Dr. Rubin will be recused. And I'll make the motion to approve her renewal of medical assistance.
This is Dr. Popiola, I second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
And then let's go review consideration possible action regarding request for termination or probation of Dr. Vanessa Faria. She had a consent agreement, and Alderman Tansky can give us a little bit more quick background on that.
Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, on 6/22/2001, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board entered into a consent agreement with Dr. Ferreria relating to case number 20-174. Dr. Ferreria has provided proof of completion of all the required CME, complied with all the terms of the consent agreement, and is requesting release of probation.
Make the motion that we request for termination of probation.
I'm sorry, this is Justin. I missed it. Is the motion to approve the request for termination?
Yes, sir.
Got it.
Seconded by Dr. Rubin. Roll call, please. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. And then we'll move on to the executive director report.
Did anyone have any questions on the executive director report?
No,
it's a good report. Hey, then.
So,
10 A, B, C, D, E, F. No one has questions on it.
Okay.
So we'll move on. Anyone want a future agenda item? Board member, do you think any future agenda items we need to discuss?
This is Dr. Campbell. Respective to the board's decision last year to annually review the director's performance, respective to recommending whether or not to approve an annual increase in compensation. Gail, has it been a year yet?
Dr. Campbell, yes, it has.
Okay. I'm not sure how we did this last year, but if Dr. Campbell wants to make a motion to approve Director Gail Anthony for another 10% yearly or annual increase, how would we do that?
It would need to be agendized for a future. You can just direct Gail to agendize this on a later agenda.
And Dr. Sadlick, Dr. Campbell, members of the board, I very much appreciate that. I do have to say that the governor just put into place a blanket 10% increase of all state employees' compensation for the year. And so we were given a total of like $800 extra. So I don't know, given all of what's going on, if there's going to be enough monies factoring in the ERE. And so I would request that maybe I can do a quick budget just to make sure that in the event the board does approve an increase for me, that we have the monies for that.
Okay.
So it might be August, it might be September.
I think the for now, since we're just talking about this under future agenda items, that we should just, you know, I think it's clearly understood, right, that, mm-hmm. you know, we're just going to put this on an agenda for later discussion because it's, you know, we don't want to get into matters that aren't
exactly. Agendas. And I again, I want to thank the board. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So if you want to put it on the September board or whenever our agenda, mm-hmm. whatever. Have the information that you need. This motion is to approve that you add that to the agenda when the time comes.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell. Any calls to the public? More than once, twice, so any other matters for? We're on 13, and we're at B30, not bad. So meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody.